The readings today make a journey backward very sort of quickly to begin the journey forward. We hear about Abraham, we hear about Isaac, we hear about Moses, we hear about Jacob, right? And then we hear all of a sudden about the Christ, and we hear about the apostles and the two individuals who are on the road. And we realize that beginning with Abraham, a people were continually brought together. And they were all brought together for a singular purpose, that they might come to recognize that the one who created them and desired them to be in union with the Father, for them to know who it is that they are, children, sons, and daughters of God, that they would have a means of expiation for their sins, that the fallenness that they knew in their own heart and their own relationships and with God had a way of being healed, that the way was open. And so in the scripture readings today, we go back and we begin all the way from the beginning when Abraham, one man, was used to gather together people. We see that then in this journey, there's a gathering that then happens in many different ways, but there's one that happens in the scriptures that you don't see because of how the gospel is spliced together today. Right? The reading is of the road to Emmaus, right? The theme from this year, from Luke, we are reading from it today, that there were the two disciples who were walking on the way, who thought that what they had been hoped and promised wasn't coming about. Right? That's just before this reading. And then in the midst of their despondency, in the midst of their downwardness, in the midst of their confusion, he enters back in. Somebody who had already brought them together. They'd already been together, but their togetherness changed. It sort of turned inward in their own hearts, among themselves, and in relationship with the others. They weren't with the others anymore. Right? And even the way they were in relationship with each other had changed. And all of that is a sign that something inside them had changed. Their own awareness and relationship of who they are. And that despondency became more and more a part of that togetherness. But he came back. He entered back in again, a reminder to them that the beginning with which he started things, it wasn't up to them. And a reminder to them that it is he who, in the midst of despondency, can do a work that returns us back to ourselves. And in returning us back to ourselves, we then can be back in relationship with each other in a more true way. Right, those two disciples on Emmaus weren't more together physically any more than they were before the Lord returned. But they were more together. They were together aware of who it is that makes them one, of why it is that they are on this way, of what it is they are given in the gift of God. And after they recognize this, by his grace, right, it says, he opened their eyes. And they recognize him. After this happens, what do? They then want, once they've come together, then they want to come together with the apostles again. So then they go, and that's where today's gospel picks up. Is the two have entered into the upper room where the apostles are gathered with the other people who are gathered together. And what's their relationship now? Fear. And so here they are together, and what happens? The two on the way begin to recount he is risen. And so we have this union again that they're gathering together, and what happens? They begin to tell them, this is what has happened. We have seen him too. And then here he is. He comes back again, and in a similar way, where the two on the road, it says that they recognized him. It says when they were in his midst, right, that he revealed himself to them. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst. Peace be with you. I was looking for the words, but I can't find them. There, down here. Then... See, I practiced my homily with the Magnificat, and then the words aren't in the same spot. Then he opened their minds, right? Vital to understand this. We don't come back to relationship because of our effort and our ability and our willingness. We come back because he helps us recognize. He helped them recognize. And in that midst, then, suddenly everything's open again. And that journey finally is like, oh yeah, oh yeah. How forgetful we are. And then what does Jesus say? He says, you are witnesses of these things. Right? He's reminding them that now you have testimony. And the sign of the change that's within us is that when we're together, it's not merely just a physicality. It's not just a mere spirituality. It is a testimony. I can speak to my brother and sister of having met the one who made us. I can speak to the world about a God who has come into my life. Testimony. And the question for each of us is this still true? Or do we just go back and read a history that somehow ends back in those mysterious days? Or is the way still open to people? I think you could go back and reflect upon maybe the first times that you met people from the Newman Center. Maybe the first event or activity that you came to. A togetherness. And in that togetherness, in that journey, maybe aware somehow God was in your life, but more interested in the people and what you were doing and where you were and where you'd go. But then suddenly, somehow on this journey, something happens. Something opens, a recognition, a gift, in which you can say, I think this is you here with me. Whether it be in the sacramental life of breaking the bread, like the two disciples who were on the way and led to that place in which he gave them the memorial, or like afterwards when they recognized the burning in their hearts that was the sign of his presence. Or whether it's the disciples who realize this peace that I have been given comes from you. And in that recognition, realizing I am called to the same path that began with Abraham. You, a son and a daughter, being called back to God. And how do we know then that these things continue to grow? Because our relationships with each other change. They become about more important things. Right? The gift of having friends who you can speak to about life and eternal life, about the difficulties and the doubts, but to be encouraged with hope because they too know him. And that beautiful gift to give witness and testimony. What was it the other night to sit here and to hear incredible witnesses of people who gave God moments and little longer reflections about the way in which God has worked in their heart? And I know that if we had opened it up afterwards, it would just been like, another one, another one, another one, another one. And maybe not all of you would have got up there in front of everybody and said it, but how many of you have said to another person in your life, I know him now? Or have said, I think I get it. Or like the group the other night, last week or whatever, there 10 people, one after the other, came one night and sat in that chair in my office and just started talking about him. How life is so different. And 2 of the 10 said almost exactly the same thing. If the high school me could see me now. That's testimony. You don't have to say his name. What you're saying is, if the high school me could see me a lot like I know him. And what does it mean to know him? It means you know each other more deeply too. And to know him means you know each other more deeply, and you know more each other more deeply because you know yourself more truly for who you are a son and a daughter of God. This is the purpose for which he came. It's the reason that we're here. But we're also like St. John writing to the community of people that he would have known. Decades later, after all of this would happen, and he's saying, okay, you guys. He doesn't say it like this, but if I were to write a letter to you guys, I'd be like, okay, you guys, like, get your act together. That's what he basically said. What did he say? He said, don't sin. Right? These are people who already met him in the beginning, then they had this recurrence, then they met the risen Lord, then they took this journey, and then all of a sudden down the road, they're like off doing whatever they're doing. And someone has to say, hey, what are you doing? Now, that position isn't a place of despair anymore. And who of us hasn't had a moment in which you sort of said, not interested? Who of us hasn't had a moment in which it's like so, you just can't figure it out? Who of us hasn't had a moment where you're so attached to things? Who of us hasn't had a moment where the division within the heart begins to grow among the friends, and then all of a sudden the person that used to seem like the most important person is suddenly your enemy? But after you've met him, after you've come together in this way, now you know how to pray. Not, I better get my act together, but Lord, would you do again what you did before? Lord, the one who promised Abraham and promised me too. Lord, the one who surprised me and brought me on this journey. Could you surprise me again? A son or a daughter isn't the person who acts perfectly. A son or a daughter is the one who knows where to turn when the perfect life seems impossible. Knows what place to go to when the place you're in seems filled with darkness and doubt and confusion. And so, over the journey, we found out where we can go. To the Father's house. And in that Father's house, we can turn to him and say, Lord, I need you. Or we can say, Lord, someone else needs you. Or we can say, Lord, thank you for the gifts that you have bestowed upon us in this life. It's hard to believe, but we only have 3 weeks left. We have a lot to be grateful for. And if we go all the way back to the beginning, we could start with those first days playing games on the lawn. Or how about the day when we had the miraculous multiplication of steaks? Or how about the moments when we came in here together as a people and prayed? Or the moments when we came here alone and asked the Lord to help us? Or the moments when we were in class and realized somebody else in our class is living with faith too? Or the moments we went back to our fraternity or sorority and realized, I am so grateful for friends, but I need you, Lord, to be at the center of them? Or the moments in which, in our athletic endeavors, we succeeded? Or how importantly, the moments when we failed. And we could say, Lord, I'm so grateful that I'm made for something more than just perfection in this life. The paradox is that we are made for perfection in this life. But it only comes when we humbly turn ourselves and ask him. Those disciples that were on that way recognized him in the breaking of the bread. and what gift they were given has been written about and read about and prayed about all these years. But for us, we're just as much sons and daughters of Him. And so God, out of love, brought us here. And here at this altar, bread will be taken, blessed and broken, and given to you. And wine will be taken and blessed and offered for love of you. Might you receive the grace to recognize that it's Him who is here.